began serving at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home in 2016. We didn't understand the call at first, but we knew God was laying it on our hearts to serve here, my wife and I. And then once we got involved, it became pretty clear that we had a responsibility to bring the truth of God's love into the hearts of discouraged children and families. God is truly on the move, certainly through the lives of the children. They come here through all kinds of tragic stories. Nobody comes to the Woodburn Christian Children's Home on a winning streak.
The reason I came here was because I kept getting in trouble and I would lie and steal and stuff like that. So my parents brought me here to get help.
I had problems with respecting my mom, and she kind of had problems with me and what the things I did.
When they come, the children feel like they've been thrown away. And we get to meet them in that spot of desperation. And in that is where God's love is so powerfully shown.
It was hard because I was scared I was nervous to meet everybody, and I just didn't know anybody here. So the kids around here, they're nice and stuff. My house parents, they would like talk me through stuff if I was like getting sad or something, and just being able to be around people and socialize.
I was nervous that I wouldn't be accepted because I've had problems with people making fun of how I looked, so I kind of just told myself, if they don't like me for who I am, then so what? They can suck it up. I prefer it here than going home because I have a lot of friends here more than I do at home. And at home, I feel like I'm an outsider coming back or just visiting or something. And then here, it's like, this is my family, and it's like I've known everybody for my entire life.
Anytime any one of us sees these children, we always see the contrast of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And certainly in the life of Anthony, that's very obvious. And Carly, Carly is one of those young ladies that truly has a story of God's glory.
It's helped my future a lot, I would say, because my future wouldn't have been that bright if I didn't come here. God in my life is, I still believe in him. I still believe that the only reason I'm here is because of him. And the only reason I'm doing better is because of him.
I really thought that he'd just given up then, gone. He didn't really care and just said, oh, I made a mistake with her. Might as well just give up, throw her in the trash and be done with her. Well, now I see it differently, that he was always there. He didn't leave me, and he never will. No matter what, you're not a mistake, and you matter.
We do not raise victims, we raise overcomers to help them see themselves in a different picture of life where God is central. And so now we raise strong and courageous children who are overcomers in Christ.
I've realized that if I'm honest and I'll behave, my relationship at home will get better, and it has gotten a lot better.
The more I opened up, the more I saw everything, including the world, differently.
We don't have expenses at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. We have investments in children. We're privately funded through the Christian community. There's ways to participate by coming to our fundraisers. We have a fundraiser in the spring, a golf outing, and we have a fundraiser in the fall, in October, our benefit auction. Over 700 people. Last year, we raised almost $200,000. This is 300 items that we auction off. All these items are donated. It's everything you can imagine. It's a great place to go Christmas shopping. Our kids look forward to it, and so do so many of our partners.
CPR? You hear me? Whoa. Testing. There we go. All right. Yay. Let's hear it for Adam. Huh? Yes. And in conclusions, yes, let's pray. You see, you guys couldn't even hear the prayers. No, this video, as we discuss the topic tonight, what we're going to talk about, Genesis 12, 1 through 8, I feel it was a very appropriate video to show of what Carly and Anthony had to say. And so as we go, I want you guys to think about that video. And as I talk tonight, and I'll insert a few things, but you know, it's really a very good video of what they had to say. But start out, of course, I got to have a joke. Where did Abraham Lincoln write the Gettysburg Address? On an envelope. All right. That's it. Very good. That was it. So, oh, kids. If you all be turning to, it's an understatement to call this passage a pivotal passage. It is being referred to as one of the, and maybe argumentative, as one of the most important passages in the Old Testament. And now that could be somewhat of an exaggeration, but you got to think about what is talked about in this chapter. It goes from Genesis 12 through the Old Testament, the coming of Christ, the establishment of the church, the spread of the kingdom all over the world, and ourselves being here today. They all flow from that great divine promise that was given to Abram. Now, I hope I don't say Abraham tonight, because we're going to be talking about Abram, okay? The Bible alone explains to us how, in the perfect creation that God had man made, employing his free will, defied God and fell, bringing sin and death into the world. Without the scripture, we wouldn't know why man behaves so bad. Then the Bible is eager to tell us how God himself acted to effect a way for our deliverance, to bring man back into the right relationship with God. But the next decisive step in God's decision or plan in the salvation of the world was his voice of Abram. We are told that God called on this one man, Abram, who was living in a pagan culture. Now, last week I was talking to Adam about what I was going to talk about tonight, and he said, well, I've been studying Abraham a lot lately, and through his studies, he told me that Abraham's son Isaac must have been younger than 12, because if he was a teenager, it wouldn't have been a sacrifice. Adam's laughing at his own joke. What can I say? It was bombed, Adam. Sorry. It must be the delivery. I don't know. So if we turn to 12, I'll start reading. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your family's father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you, I will curse, and in all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he was departed from Haran. Or Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all the possessions which they had accumulated, and the person which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out with the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moriah. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I have only 3 points tonight, so maybe we'll get out of here early. I don't know. We'll see. The first point is hear the call to leave. In Genesis 1:12-1, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household and to the land I show you. God asked us to leave our way of life behind, just as he did Abram. God may call us away from a familiar world that drags us down. And if we want to progress, we will need to follow God's plan. This serves as a reminder that despite our fears or hesitations in life, we must trust in what God directs us to do in order to fulfill his divine plan for us. It takes courage and faith to venture into an unknown territory, but it can also be incredibly rewarding. And as you heard the video, I believe the children at the children's home, when they trust us that God is leading us, they are coming to that unknown territory. They're coming to a place that's scary and hard to accept sometimes. But you know what? They're very brave, just like Abram was, coming to the children's home. Now, when Abram was told to leave his people, he realized his people would be those who live in Canaan in the future. All of us are called, when we are saved, into a new fellowship within the church of Christ. There we go to find our closest friends. There the strong will support us. And when we get strong, we will support the weak. We will bear one another's burdens, and we will love those people with pure hearts. That must mean that there are people that physically Abram was called to leave. Now, that doesn't maybe always have to happen, but for you young adults, think about it. Maybe there's a boyfriend or a girlfriend that has no time whatsoever for God. Or maybe there's that gang or your peer group, the in crowd that has more influence over you than even your own parents. You defy your mom and dad, but not that group. Remember, they have no thought of God. For us adults, the opinions of others, the pressures your friends bring upon you, the attitudes of your employees and your fellow workers were once all important to you. But now that you are a Christian, where are your priorities? Now, do you just cut and run your old acquaintances, your old friends? You know, they probably were some of the first to find out that you became a Christian. But they have nothing to do with you. There's a saying that says that the bridges of God, in other words, it's a providential places where you meet others and can cross into their lives, speaking to them about the Savior you come to know. That is your first responsibility But if they resist you, dismiss you, show their anger towards you, or even call you a holy Joe, you need to still treat them with endless patience and kindness and overcome their evil with good. There usually comes a time when you'll no longer be welcome in their company. If your lifestyle is saying, for me to live as Christ, just as Abram said, for me to follow God, God gets priority. It's no longer crucial what others think. Our concern should be what God thinks of us. So we leave the people who we've been with up to this point in our life. What are we leaving behind? Our influences that keep us where we do not want to be. You know, there's probably hundreds of stories in here of people that we've left behind because of once we accept Jesus Christ. I know George's sick in his head, and I have heard stories from George a lot. It's hard, but just think of how Abram felt traveling to a distant country. We may not know where faith is leading us. Faith only knows and loves the one who is leading. Children at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home experience what Abram did, leaving their family, their friends, those who maybe were a negative influence in their lives. And it's hard. It's hard for any of us to leave. But are you hearing the call of God saying, go? It may be just next door to your neighbor, or it may be to another country, who knows? But just like Abram, he went. Point two. Hear the call of his promise. Jesus Christ is the great blessing of the world, the greatest that ever the world possessed. All the true blessingness the world is now or ever shall be flows through Abram to Christ. Think about that. You know, we sing the song, Father Abraham. I'm not going to sing it, but, you know, think about it. It's kind of a fun song. The kids love it. But everything that we have today flows through Abram. There are amazing promises from God that are repeated over and over through Abram's life. That promise at the end of verse 3 is ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. All nations on earth have been blessed through Abram because it is through Abram's descendants that Jesus Christ came into this world. Abram hears these promises when he is living in Haran. And so in verse 4 and following, he acts upon the promises and sets out. Let's back up. Verse 2 further states, all I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great. Here God reveals his promise to bestow blessings upon those who are willing to follow him, regardless of their age or circumstance. This assurance encourages us never to give up hope, even when everything seems bleak. Abram was a great man in the Bible. And I think for us, that calling is also there. God has promised us to be great. That doesn't mean we're going to rule a nation. That doesn't mean we're going to have $1 million. We're going to be great because we share one thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ. We are adopted brothers and sisters, and we share the name of Jesus Christ, and that's what makes us great. But in the Bible, There's several passages that kind of tells about what God thought of Abram. And I believe this is what God thinks of us too when we become Christians and follow him. In Genesis 17, 1 through 5, it says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall you be named Abram,'" which means father exalted, "'but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of multiple nations.'" Genesis 26, 24 says, "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham.'" Finally, 2 Chronicles 25 through 6. "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in front of a new courtyard. And he said, 'Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are your hands, so that you know that no one can stand against you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land from your people Israel and give it to the descendants," listen to this, "of your friend Abraham forever?" To the descendants of Abraham forever. We are friends of God. That excites me, and I hope that excites you. Then verse 3 then goes on and says, "I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse." This serves a reminder that we should treat others with kindness and respect, even if someone might be different from us in some way or another. By following his advice, we are not only showing respect towards others, but also honoring our Creator by living in accordance with his principles. This coincides with my opening this morning about how we should treat our enemies. This serves as a testament to Abraham's obedience in accepting God's calling without hesitation or second guessing. This kind of radical obedience is something that we too should strive every day, knowing that whatever he asks us to do, no matter how hard it may be, it always comes from love. So let's really quick look at how Abram believed by his faith. And in my class today, we even talked about Abram a lot and how it's misinterpreted a lot. But first, he lost his country, but God would give him another. He didn't have children, but God promised him a future. He lost his name, but God promised him a great name. He lost the security of his home, but was promised blessings and protection from enemies. All peoples on earth would be blessed. This was a promise that crowned all the rest, for it points at the Messiah in whom all the promises are. These promises, as I said earlier, were fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. So why should we believe God's promises? They're not like all the promises we make, which we often break. You know, I could probably ask for a show of hands, and every hand should come up, because I know we've all broke promises sometime. All God's promises are found in Scripture. They're always kept, even if they're a mystery to us. Think about that. We may not always understand, but I believe God will reveal it eventually to us. He reveals His heart to love us and carry us through and gives us assurance for when we fail. We are not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God's promises to us, by doing what He has asked us to do. And this is revealed in Psalms 145, 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all His promises and faithful in all He does. Point three. Hear the call to come home. Genesis 12:8. From there He went on towards a hill east of Bethel and pitched His tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There He built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Can you imagine at age 75 years old making such a change? One of the reasons Abram is a man of faith is because he is willing to follow God anywhere, anytime, even when he was 75 years old. Now, granted, he lived to be a lot older than we do today, but he was willing to go at what we consider an older age in life. He parted and traveled south to Canaan until he came to Shechem, which is in the middle or very center of Canaan, and proceeded to Ai and Bethel, where he pitched a tent for a certain amount of time. Now, what's ironic about this, as I was studying, was Bethel means the house of God, and Ai means ruin. So figuratively speaking, Abram and Sarai were walking in the light from east to west, from the city of ruin to the house of God. He was hearing the call to come home, just as Jesus is calling us to come home. James 2:23 says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. And again, as we read earlier, he was called God's friend. God is calling us to Him, away from the things that cause us pain, towards His promises, to His house. This reminds me of the prodigal who ran home after finding out that following his own path didn't bring him the life he wanted. If you ever wondered if God wanted you, me, with all our problems and struggles we are facing, the answer is simple. Yes. When we look at Abram's faith, we learn so much. Start where you are. God called Abram before Abram totally understood what was going on. Don't plan on understanding everything. Abram didn't understand but followed God. Remember that faith is in God, not self. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing God calling? You know, even though you're a Christian, God's still calling us to do what? Go. Go and spread His word. In conclusions, Genesis 12:1-4 reminds us amazing power of faith in action. When faced with difficult decisions or uncertainties we experience in life, let us take comfort in knowing that whatever trial we have to face, no matter how scary it is to face, that there is God ready to carry us as he did Abram. Let me finish with this narrative I found. I thought it was kind of good. This may probably was kind of a narrative. Maybe this happened, probably didn't, but I think it was good between God and Abram. Abram, where do you want me to go? God, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. Abram, try me. God, it's 1,500 miles from here. It's a place called Canaan. Abram replies, Canaan. My father mentioned it once. We never got there. God, well, you'll get there. Abram, how am I to get there? God, you'll have to walk the whole way. Just trust me. Abram, any more surprises? God, yes. I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. Abram, well, sorry to disillusion you, but that's impossible. I'm 75 years old, and I don't have any children. God, don't worry about that. Abram, don't worry. What do you mean? God, just trust me. Abram, now, you want me to leave everything, walk across the desert to a place I once heard my dad talk about, become a father of a great nation. God, right on. Just trust me. Abram, are you serious? God, I've never been more serious since the time I told Noah to build an ark. Just trust me. Abram, what am I supposed to tell Sarai? God, that's your problem. Now, it's God's design for the Christians. Our life as a child of Abram be vital with the vitality God himself possesses. As Christians, we are expected to leave a legacy of Christ and change the world by showing his lights to others. You know, we don't have to venture across the ocean. We don't have to become staff at a children's home. We don't have to become elders or deacons or an evangelist. We are all called to share the word of God. And just as Abram went towards his home, we are called to go home to Christ and to follow him and be that example to others. This is a comprehensive and a marvelous promise, just not for Abram, but for all. Can you see that in these beliefs, brief words to Abram of old, God has encompassed truth about life that came to be written in the pages of the gospel and the epistles of the New Testament. The blessing came on earth through Abram includes all God offers to do it with every sinner who comes and repent and is immersed into Christ.
All right, would you stand with us, please?